Hello and welcome back. It's been a busy week, almost entirely dominated by one company's ecosystem, which tells you something about where the gravitational center of this industry currently sits. Let's get into it. The cover story this week is Anthropic, and more specifically the three-layer system they've been quietly assembling. Claude Cowork as a desktop automation platform, Claude Code as a coding agent, and Skills as a kind of universal process format that runs across both. More than a dozen videos across the channels we follow covered these components this week, often in combination, and what's interesting is that the commentators broadly agree on the direction but not on the maturity. AI Foundations and Ben AI are presenting this as production-ready business automation, the DBS framework they describe, direction, blueprints, solutions, is genuinely elegant. A skilled MD file that defines your workflow and rules, a references folder for brand guides and context, and a scripts folder for anything requiring actual code. The demo where a YouTube transcript becomes a newsletter, a LinkedIn post, and a branded presentation, all triggered by a single slash command, is the kind of thing that would have required a team of tools and a lot of glue code 18 months ago. Now it's a markdown file. Mark Karshef, on the other hand, spent a month experimenting with the new 1 million token context window and came back with a warning. His argument is essentially a larger context window doesn't mean better reasoning. It means more rope. If you don't practice context discipline, you burn tokens without quality gains, and the auto-compaction that kicks in at the edges still produces what he calls ghost elements, hallucinated references to things that have drifted out of active memory. His recommendation is to train on the old 200K window first, which Julian Ivanov echoes explicitly. There's something almost counterintuitive about that advice. Use the smaller tool to learn the craft before you touch the powerful one. But it's probably right. Kyle Balmer makes a related point about Claude Code specifically. Compared to one-click tools like Lovable, it has a real learning curve. You have to understand how to set up a local server, how to structure a project, how to manage deployment. The upside is that when something breaks, you can actually ask Claude Code to explain what's happening, and it will. The downside is that when something breaks happens more often than the demos suggest. Skills 2.0 is worth dwelling on because the new integrated evals are a meaningful shift. The skill creator now generates test cases automatically, runs parallel versions of a skill, and scores them against criteria you define. Word count, tone, token efficiency, whatever you care about. Ben AI showed a test where a skill with proper context files achieved 100% success rate versus 10% without. That's not a marginal improvement. The A-B testing between skill versions, which Bart Slodichka walked through in terms of five canonical workflow patterns, means you can actually iterate toward quality rather than just hoping the next prompt will be better. Nick Sarayev demonstrated something even more interesting. Applying Andre Karpathy's auto-research principle, originally designed for model training, to skill optimization. An agent runs a skill repeatedly, scores outputs against binary criteria, adjusts the prompt, and keeps the winner. He got a diagram generation skill from a score of 32 to 39 out of 40 in a single session. The cost was around $10. For a business-critical skill, that's nothing. The Google Workspace CLI integration that Mark Karshef and Nate Herc both covered is worth a specific mention. It gives Claude Code direct access to Gmail, Calendar, Docs, Sheets and Slides through over 100 predefined skill recipes without the overhead of MCP configuration. Karshef's framing, that this is a significant expansion without MCP overhead, seems right. The demos of chaining Gmail to Calendar to Docs in a single prompt with properly formatted output rather than raw markdown are genuinely useful rather than just impressive. On the model side, Google released Gemini Embedding 2, and three separate channels covered it in practical depth. The core claim is that it's the first natively multimodal embedding model. Text images up to 6 per request, videos up to 120 seconds, audio, PDFs, all mapped into a shared 3072-dimensional vector space. AI MIT Arnie built a RAG application in roughly 20 minutes using Claude Code, Streamlit, and Superbase that can answer questions like, when does the woman in the red dress enter the room, from a video. Nate Herc built a chatbot for a 68-page vacuum cleaner manual that handles both text and diagrams. Alejandro AO showed a parts catalog search that returned a 62% match on a gearbox query. The practical implication is that you no longer need separate pipelines for different media types. Whether that holds up at scale is a different question. But the basic premise, one embedding model, one vector store, cross-modal retrieval, is a meaningful simplification. NVIDIA's Nemotron 3 Super also surfaced this week. 120 billion parameters, only 12 billion active, at inference, mixture of experts architecture, 1 million token context, open weights, optimized for Blackwell hardware. Alex Finn, who runs a home AI lab on Mac Studios and a DGX Spark, flagged it as significant. For the 30 billion nano variant, he thinks it's practically deployable on consumer hardware. The full model needs quantization. The Stripe story from Cole Medin deserves attention because it's one of the cleaner pictures of how production AI coding actually works at scale. Stripe ships over 1,300 fully AI-written pull requests per week through an internal system called Minions. The architecture alternates between AI-driven nodes and deterministic validation steps, linting, type-checking, tests. With a context curation node that selects the appropriate subset from over 500 MCP tools before each task. Execution happens in isolated AWS EC2 instances. The key insight is that the system controls the AI, not the other way around. Similar architectures at Shopify, which open-sourced their version as Roast, and Airbnb follow the same pattern. For individual developers, Medin proposes a PIV loop, plan, implement, validate, with separate agents for each phase and deterministic validation between them. It's a scaled-down version of the same principle. The developer culture conversation this week was anchored by two things that don't obviously connect, but probably do. Melvinks described four developer profiles in the AI era. The anti-AI developer who will eventually be obsolete, the AI-assisted developer who reviews every line, the AI builder who reviews only overall logic, and the dev manager of AI running 12 or more parallel agents in what he calls YOLO mode. His observation from San Francisco was that Anthropic has 32 open engineering positions and backlogs are growing. The distinction between typing code and exercising taste and taking responsibility is becoming the core competency. Theo's report on his T3 code project is the darker side of the same picture. 150 open pull requests in 5 days, despite explicit warnings. GitHub with no moderation tools. Maintainers whose course and sponsorship income has been undercut by AI-generated alternatives, now drowning in AI-generated contributions they can't safely merge without losing track of their own code base. Mitchell Hashimoto's vouch system, where only vouched contributors' PRs are visible, shrinks that 150 to 43. The open source pledge, requiring companies to pay at least $2,000 per developer per year to the maintainers of tools they depend on, is the structural response. Neither is sufficient on its own. Ter. The industry strategy piece from the French channel IA et Stratégie is one of the more structurally rigorous analyses of the week. The argument is about what they call financial obsolescence. Cursor pays Anthropic for compute on every subscription, and Anthropic is simultaneously building Claude Code as a direct competitor. A $200 subscription can cost Cursor up to $5,000 in compute. Every dollar of revenue flows to the company building the product that will replace you. The same logic applies to Perplexity, which competes with Google while being partly financed by Google, and to NA10, which faces pressure from native agent orchestration that makes GUI workflow platforms less necessary. The analysis gives Cursor until December 2026 to make Composer, their own model, work. If it doesn't, the argument is that a simple chat interface becomes sufficient and the complex code editor becomes unnecessary overhead. Nate Jones pushes back on the broader job displacement narrative with Jevons Paradox. Efficiency gains create more demand, not less, and points to the Cursor CEO's multi-agent harness solving an unpublished mathematical problem from Stanford, MIT, and Berkeley better than the official human solution. That's a coding tool generalizing to spectral graph theory, which is either evidence that capability is broader than we think, or a useful anecdote that will be cited selectively for years. Block's layoff of 4,000 people, explicitly attributed to AI by Jack Dorsey, is the counterpoint. The Data Pizza podcast called it the first publicly declared mass reduction directly caused by AI substitution rather than budget reallocation. Whether it's a data point or a turning point is genuinely unclear. The most interesting piece of analysis this week came from Nate Jones, and it's worth taking seriously. His argument is that roughly 60% of knowledge worker time goes into coordination overhead, meetings, PRDs, status updates, design reviews, that only exists because the execution layer is made of humans with limited context and bandwidth. When agents handle execution, you don't just automate individual tasks. The coordination infrastructure that exists to manage those humans becomes unnecessary. Anthropic has already stopped writing PRDs internally. What remains is product vision, genuine customer understanding, systems architecture, and the design of agentic systems themselves. Those are the tasks that were always the most valuable and that most people rarely had time for. The coordination overhead was the tax on doing the actual work. That framing is more useful than the standard AI will take your job or AI won't take your job binary. It's not about tasks. It's about the entire organizational structure that exists to coordinate human execution. That question, what happens to organizations when the execution layer stops being human, is probably the one that's going to matter most over the next few years, and almost nobody is thinking about it carefully enough yet.